We're beginning Avot Rabbi Natan, and in truth we should have a class introducing Avot Rabbi Natan. There's Hashem, either Thursday or next week we will do that. Right now we're going to begin. We are going to learn with the Graz edition, the different editions of Avot Rabbi Natan. We are going to work off of the Graz edition. Different manuscripts have different orderings and slightly slight differences. The one that's easiest to work with, in my opinion, is the Graz version, so we are going to work with that. Avot Rabbi Natan is found at the end of the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Harios, and then in the end of Seder Nezik, and in the Gemara, you have all the Masechtot Ktanot, the small tractates. Now, what these small tractates are is unclear. Avot Rabbi Natan seems to be Tanoic quotes that revolve around the tractate Avot. We know that every Masechta had a Babylonian version and an Israeli version. And Rabbi Natan HaBavli composed the Babylonian version of the Mishnah, and Rabbi composed the Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi composed the Israeli version of the Mishnah. And we know that revolving around the Mishnah were Toseftot, which were Tanakh quotes that went in the order of the Mishnah and expanded upon the Mishnah. The style of Avot Rabbi Natan is very similar to the Tosefta style around the Mishnah, but Avot Rabbi Natan is included in the Masechtot Ktanot, what we call the small tractates that did not make it into the Shas, and yet we do rely on them. Not only do we rely on them, but Tosus writes in a few places, sometimes our custom is aligned with the small tractates more than it is with our own Mishnah and Gemara, more than our Talmud. Who composed these small tractates? So that there's room for discussion, and there are different opinions. We're going to leave that hanging. We're going to go with the simple understanding that this is Tanaic, and not only Tanaic quotes, but also Tanaic composition. Or more accurately, Tanaic compilation. And let's begin. Chapter 1 and the first halakha in the Masechtot Ktanot, as in the Tosefta, the segments are referred to as halachot, even though in essence these aren't really halachot, these are more like mishnayot, but to differentiate between the Mishnah and the Masechet Ktana or the Tosefta, so we refer to these as halachot. So we're in Perek Aleph, Aleph. And just as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos begins with Moshe's ascent to Sinai, Moshe's receiving the Torah at Sinai and passing it on to Yoshua, etc., so too Avot Rabbi Natan begins in that order. Moshe, Allah ba'anan v'nitkasa ba'anan v'nitkadesh ba'anan kedei lekabel Torah mi-Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu went up in the cloud, got covered in the cloud, and got separated in holiness in the cloud, so as to accept the Torah. As the verse says, Vaishkon kvod Hashem al har Sinai, God's honor descended upon Mount Sinai, Vaychaseu ha'anan, and the cloud covered him. Who did the cloud cover? So there's a discussion between Tanaim. Over here, we're going with the opinion. The first Tana in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi Aglili, goes with the opinion. Le Moshe. Now, when the verse says that God descended upon Sinai and the cloud covered it for 6 days, that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the cloud covered Moshe for 6 days to give him holiness. Zaya achar aseret hadibrot. And Rav Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that this happened following the Ten Commandments. Rabbi Akiva omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, Vaishkon kvod Hashem merosh chodesh. When the verse says that God descended on Sinai, that's from Rosh Chodesh. Vaychaseu ha'anan sheshet yamim. When the verse says that the cloud covered it for 6 days, lahar, that's a reference to the mountain, that the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days, velo lemoshe. Vaykal Moshe, and then after the 6 days, on the 7th day of Sivan, God called out to Moshe. Vayom HaShvi'i, on the 7th day, mitoch ha'anan, from within the cloud. Why is God calling out to Moshe? Moshe v'chol Yisrael omdim. Moshe and all of Israel were standing there ready to accept the Torah. Velo ba katuv ela lachlok lo kavod leMoshe. The verse is coming to give honor to Moshe. Everyone's standing together. God descended on Sinai to give us the Torah. And before God gives us the Torah, God calls Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu stepped forward. Amar Rabbi Natan, mipnei ma nitakev Moshe kol shisha yamim velo shra alav dibur. Rabbi Natan says, he seems to be going with Rav Yossi Aglili's opinion, that Moshe Rabbeinu had 6 days to prepare before accepting the Torah. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to wait these 6 days until he was able to speak to God. He had to cleanse himself of all food and drink that were in his intestines. So we see that in preparation for accepting Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu needed 6 days to cleanse himself, Kadesh, so that he'll become holy, and he'll be like one of the angels. I think maybe we could learn from this a little bit. We sometimes want to go in to learn. First thing we do is take a cup of coffee, sit down, have something to eat. So it's important. And at the same time, we have to know that there are limits. And part of the preparation for Torah, okay, but part of the preparation for the Torah is to separate ourselves from the physical. We need the physical. We're not Moshe Rabbeinu, like Avram pointed out. But at the same time, on our level, whatever that is, we have to know that we can't seek all the amenities and try to attain Torah. Amale Rabbi Matya ben Charash. Rabbi Matya ben Charash said, Lo ba katuv ela le'ayem alav. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have these 6 days sitting in a cloud alone, in quiet, in solitude, solitary confinement for 6 days in preparation for getting the Torah? That is to place awe upon Moshe Rabbeinu, kedei sheikabel alav divrei Torah be'ema, be'ira, be'retet uvezia, so that Moshe Rabbeinu will accept the Torah with awe, with fear, with trembling, with shivering, as the verse says, ivdu et Hashem be'ira ve'gilu bir'ada. Serve God with awe, even at the time of happiness there should be trembling. We're standing before our Creator. Maaseh. Now the Medrash, Maaseh Avos Rabbi Nosson gives us a story. Maaseh, there was a story of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Matya ben Charash. Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Matya ben Charash, shehayu shneim yoshvim oskim divrei Torah. They were both learning Torah. And Rabbi Yoshia ran out of money, and he was suffering and suffering and suffering until it reached a point where Piresh Rabbi Yoshia al derechel. Rabbi Yoshia said, "I got to go get a job." He couldn't stand living in such dire circumstances. He didn't have a penny to his name. He was barely having anything to eat. And at some point, he broke. Said, "I'm going to work." Amar lo Rabbi Matya ben Charash. So Rabbi Matya ben Charash, who was really his disciple, said to him, "Rabbi, malecha la'azov divrei Elokim chayim velishtof bederech eretz." Rabbi, why should you leave the words of God, the words of the living God, and delve yourself and dive into work derech eretz? And even though you're my Rebbe and I'm your student, still I have to tell you, it's not a good idea to leave the words of God and dive into work. Vamhu, and in case you think that maybe he had it in for him, so no. Kol zman sheyoshvim ve'oskim b'Torah, so long as the two of them used to learn Torah, ayu domin limkanin, they'd seem like they were fighting zelaze, as though each one was grappling with the other. Uchshaniftarin, but when they'd separate, domin shen avin minurehem, they'd seem like the best of friends. So Rabbi Matya ben Charash and Rabbi Yoshia used to learn together, and as is the case often when people learn together, they'd argue, they'd disagree, and they'd fight it out, and you could swear that they were enemies. But when they finished learning, as should be the case whenever two people are learning, you could swear that they were best of friends. And when Rabbi Matya ben Charash saw his Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshia, who said, "I can't anymore, I'm going to go work," so Rabbi Matya ben Charash said, "Rebbe, it pays, even though I'm a student, I got to tell you that I don't think you're doing right." Days. Al yedei Moshe nitna Torah b'Sinai. Through the hands of Moshe, the Torah was given at Sinai. Shnemaz, the verse says, God wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets and gave them to me, Moshe says. And later on the verse says that God gave all the laws and the statutes, all of the Torah God gave through Moshe. All of the Torah that God gave to the Jewish people, he gave through Moshe, as Moshe. Between God and the Jewish people, Moshe was the intermediary. Zacha Moshe liot shaliach ben Yisrael amakom. Moshe merited to be the intermediary between God and the Jewish people. Moshe shimesh et shivat me'am miluim. What were Moshe's great accomplishments? 7 days he served when he erected the tabernacle. And asa shemen, he made the oil that with that oil, Mashach bo Aaron uvanav kol shivat imei ha'miluim, he anointed Aaron and his children to have the holiness of Kohanim. Mimenu nimshchu kohanim gdolim u'mlachim. Moshe Rabbeinu's oil lasted throughout the first temple, and all future Kohanim gedolim and kings were anointed with it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, gdola mshicha zo sha'aron uvanav shenitkadshu shehi ledorot. The anointing that Moshe Rabbeinu did for 7 days to Aaron and his children was exceptional, and that anointing imparted holiness that lasted for generations. To this day, we say Kohanim are holy. Where does that holiness come from? From the anointing which Moshe Rabbeinu did to Aaron during those 7 days. So that was an exceptional anointing. Sheneemar, as the verse says, Ve'et Aaron ve'et banav timshach ve'kidashta otam lechahen li. Aaron and his sons you should anoint, and you will make them holy, and they will serve me. Excellent question. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. What do you do with sons of Pinchas? Was Pinchas anointed? I don't know. I don't remember that it says he was anointed. I don't know.
Sons of Pinchas, they were Kohanim, so
Well, they became Kohanim in a later date. They became Kohanim at the end of the 40 years. I don't know. Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, Elazar, Aaron's son, Saraf Parat HaChatat, he burnt the first red heifer, Shemimenu Tmei Mitarim Ledorot. And that red heifer, we saved ashes from it, and every generation when we burn a Parat Duma, we take some of those ashes, and for generations, those ashes last. I think we'll get in Gimel. Yoshua kiben mi Moshe. Yoshua received the Torah from Moshe, as the verse says, Natam otcha alav, give from your glory on Yoshua, leman yishmu kol adam bnei Yisrael, all of the Jewish people will hear, they'll know he's the next leader. Zekinim kiblu mi Yoshua. The elders, they accepted the tradition from Yoshua, as the verse says, Yabdu am tashem kol mi Yoshua, v'chol mi yizkenim, shariku imim achi Yoshua, shirut kol ma'aseh Hashem agadol, asher asa li Yisrael. Shoftim kiblu, the judges, they accepted the tradition mizkenim from the elders, as the verse says, Vayi bimei shfot ha-shoftim. Nevi'im, the prophets, kiblum shoftim, they got the tradition from the judges, as the verse says, Shlach alechem tkol avdai nevi'im yom hashkim v'shaloach. Chagai, Zechariah, u'Malachi, the last three prophets, kiblum and nevi'im, they received the tradition from the rest of the prophets. Anshei Knesset ha'gdola, kiblum Chagai, Zechariah, u'Malachi, the men of the great assembly got from the last prophets, Chagai, Zechariah, u'Malachi, who really were part of the great assembly. Nehem amu shlosha dvarim, and the men of the great assembly said three things. Hevu metunim badin, be patient when it comes to judging, v'amidu talmidim arde, and establish, stand up many students, v'asu siag la'Torah, and make fences for the Torah. Hevu metunim badin. Now we're going to begin this halacha just to get a picture of it. What does it mean to have patience in judgment? Ketzad, how so? Melamed she'yeh adam amtin badin, that a person should wait before giving judgment. She'kolam amtin badin miyushav badin. Whoever waits ends up being more settled in giving the ruling. Shneimaz, the verse says, Gam ele mishlei Shlomo she'atiku anshei Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. These two are the parables of King Solomon, that the men of the King Chizkiyah, who was towards the end of the period of kings, a few hundred years after King Solomon, they copied over. And our sages say, Velo she'atiku ele shem tinu. And it's not that they copied it over, but rather the sages waited. The sages were not willing to incorporate King Solomon's works into the Tanakh until a period had passed. And they waited and they thought it over, and after years, after over a century, they concluded to incorporate them. Not that they waited as much as that they were able to explain all his works. Initially, the sages said, we should bury Mishlei, the Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. Shehem ayu umrim mishalot meinan min haktuvim, ve'amdu ve'ganzu otam, ad shebaon shei Knesset ha'gdola u'pirshu otam. Initially, they buried the works of King Solomon, until the men of the great assembly came and explained the works of King Solomon, and only then were they able to incorporate them into the Tanakh. As the verse says, ve'erev apta'im, the woman describes how she saw among the fools, avina v'abanim, she looked among the lads, Na'achasar lev, she seeked out a young man who was without a heart. So, v'inei shalikato, and she beheld a woman coming towards that lad, shit zonan tzurat lev, a prostitute revealing her heart, homiyai v'soraret, she doesn't have rest. Bevetalu yishkenu ragla. She doesn't let her feet rest at home. Pam bachutz, pam ba'uchovot. Sometimes outside by the market, sometimes by the streets. It's a kolpinate rov, and she waits and she's ambushing at any corner. Vechzika bo, she grabs him in ashkalo. She kissed him. Eze paneh. She had a brazen face towards him. Vatomalo, she said to him, Zivchei shlamim alai ayom. Today I brought my sacrifices. Shilamti nedarai. I gave my sacrifices today. Al ken yatzati likratecha. That's why I went out to greet you. Leshachel panecha. To be first early to greet you. Vemtzecha, and I found you. Malvadim ravati arsi. I've put perfume around my bed. Chatuvot etun mitzrayim. Nafti mishkavim oralim vekinamon. Etc. Lecha dodi. She says, come, let's go together and have love till the morning. The husband isn't around. You read these verses in Mishlei, and the sages said, how could we incorporate a book like this into Tanakh? What is the book describing? Okay.
But it's the same thing when Hashem through the prophet says, "Ooh, you're such a harlot. You went after your various lovers and stuff." It's very poetic, by the way.
Okay. So this is what the Anjik Nes Tagdola explained, and after they explained, they said Mishlei could be incorporated in Tanakh. Mizrat Hashem, next week we'll pick up over here.